it's a thrill for me to introduce this guest. The first time I've had him on WGN Radio, and that would be Chris A. Matthews, licensed marriage and family therapist. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Oh, well, thank you for doing this on a Sunday. I appreciate it. And I guess the first question for you is, have you been married 6 times? Is that true?
No, not 6 times, but approaching 16 years.
Well, you know what? That's 15 and a half years more. What is the statistic? I think it's over 50% of Americans, their marriages land in divorce.
Yeah, it's in the low 50s, kind of about 48, 49. It's actually dropped a little bit in the last couple of years because people are not getting married.
Okay. So. Well, here's a question for you. What do the Eurasian beaver, gray wolves, various species of gibbon, various species of penguin, sandhill cranes, and lots of other types of birds too, including bald eagles, what do they all have in common?
I would say they all lay eggs, I would assume.
Well, not the beavers. No, no. But they all, I don't mean to trick you up in any way. They all mate for life. You know, that's the answer. So there are lots of species in the natural world who do that. Are we not meant to do that? Other primates, gorillas do not mate for life, any of the species. Orangutans, they have a couple of species of orangutans, neither mate for life. Chimpanzees most certainly do not mate for life. Bonobos mate every chance they get, if you know about bonobos, but they do not mate for life. Are we not meant to do this?
Absolutely, we are meant to do that, and this is why. Because humans are one of the few species who have the intelligence that we do. And when you look at mating and having sex and connecting with another partner, it goes beyond just the physical sense. And you can ask any person out there who's been married for a long time, there's a deeper level of connection when you mate or have sex with someone that you've developed an emotional connection with over time. And I believe that that's where people go wrong. They just get caught up in the moment. But that genuine love that develops with you and a partner, and you establish something beyond just the physical piece, that's what people want. That's what people are craving.
One very famous person told me that you can't be happy in a marriage unless you are happy with yourself first. Is there truth to that?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Marriage is not like math. Two negatives do not equal a positive. So you have to both be in a good space. And loving yourself is the prerequisite to loving another person. And I talk about that a lot in a lot of my books and material. I'm making sure you take time to fall in love with you before falling in love with someone else.
The pandemic, you mentioned it a bit. Has that played a role? You know, we found marriages being delayed and not happening because of the pandemic, but right now they're happening at record pace. So is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing?
I think people are just wanting to feel again, because when you had the pandemic, in the heart of the pandemic, it's not over. I know there's still COVID cases, but there was so much isolation. And in my lifetime, in most people's lifetime, they hadn't experienced that before. So now that the borders are opening up in terms of people getting out more, individuals just want to connect and feel. And there were a lot of relationships that brewed and developed in a healthy manner because people got to quarantine together, so they had the opportunity to be closer than they may have been prior to the pandemic. Other people also had to face themselves in the mirror and figure out who they were. So the pandemic has produced a lot of good as well, and I think we're going to see some healthy relationships come about from that.
One texter is saying here that one of the problems he or she feels, I don't know if it's a he or she, says that today couples are putting their kids before one another.
Yeah, that's a great, great message that I want to talk about as well. I'm so glad they put that in the text, because a lot of couples who I counsel will get married and have kids and then look up 18 years later and realize that they forgot who each other were. And I always tell couples who are pregnant now, the best gift that you can give that child is a good marriage. So wives, husbands, don't neglect each other because you're now serving or attempting to develop healthy children. You know, my wife and I, we got pregnant young. I was an undergrad at 20. And a lot of my partners were going off and having kids, and they would say they wanted to be the father of the year, and they wanted to be this great parent. I paused my brakes and said, you know what? I'm going to be a good husband. I'm going to learn how to love my wife and love my son's mother, and then allow it to trickle on down into the family relationship. And it did.
Well, I have failed you as a radio host, Chris, because what I should have said at the beginning is your most recent book is called Finding Your Relationship Fix, The Four Reasons Couples Seek Counseling. So what I want to know when we come back from a commercial break is what those four reasons are. Also, I want to hear from you. 312-981-7200. You can call or you can text Chris A. Matthews, a licensed marriage and family therapist. Chris A. Matthews is a licensed marriage and family therapist and approved, so he is approved, supervisor of the American Association of Marriage and Family Therapy. He holds both a Master of Science degree in Organizational Leadership and a Master of Arts degree in Marriage and Family Therapy. Chris primarily works with couples in need of assistance navigating their marriage and relationships. His most recent book, Finding Your Relationship Fix, The Four Reasons Couples Seek Counseling. Chris, what are some of those four reasons? Maybe we can cover all four.
Definitely. So reason one is safety. And, you know, I'm out of Charlotte, North Carolina right now. So if anybody's watching the major news, there's a prominent Charlotte basketball player who is facing domestic violence charges. So safety is number one, physical, emotional, mental safety. Two, couples want to feel heard. Three, we want to be under. Four,
well, I want to go back to number two. You said couples want to be heard.
Yes.
They say, I don't know who they really are, but they say that the number one issue is communication that people have over a course of time.
Yeah, communication in short is the sending and the receiving of messages. And if you're not able to send a message of love, and I always tell couples, it's your job to be your partner's student and teacher. You know, no one knows how to love you the way you need to be loved without instruction. And we sometimes think that relationships are like the Disney fairy tale where you're going to find someone and they're going to know what to do for the rest of your life. That doesn't work. You have to be willing to teach your partner because you're going to be changing and they're going to be constantly changing.
Interesting, so you mentioned that.
Relationships are based on communication.
Interesting you mentioned that because the previous guest, and you would have no way to know this, wrote a book called Cinderella Did Not Live Happily Ever After, The Hidden Messages of Fairy Tales. Do women in particular, which is her whole point, get sort of the wrong idea about what we hope is modern life and equality in America for all, because fairy tales kind of are like that?
Yeah, you know, I think that you can have a fairy tale. It just requires work every day. You know, I always make the joke about the movie Groundhog Day. You know, when I wake up every day, I'm like Bill Murray in that movie. I'm trying to love my wife all over again. So I feel like if men and women, for that matter, if we wake up every day and we realize it's the job to learn how to love our partner and teach them, and we don't just get fixated on one thing. A lot of guys talk about providing, right? You make a bunch of money and you think that's it. No, you have to provide more than just money. You got to provide your time, your emotions, your intellect, your ability to connect with another person. So we can have a fairy tale if we put the work in every day. Relationships are a lifestyle. It's not something you just do one time and think that's it.
A texter writes in here, how important is forgiveness?
Yes. So forgiveness has to align with boundaries. And, you know, I do a lot of work with couples who are facing infidelity and cheating, and those are some of the most resilient couples I work with. However, you got to know yourself. Some people can't come back from that. So you can forgive a person and still not be in a relationship with them. Forgiveness is for you. It may not be for that other person. It may be for you to not hold that gripe so your life can move forward with or without that person.
So those are examples of people, I mean, you hear about it all the time, who were married for X number of years and maybe there was infidelity. Whatever the issue was, they've broken up, but they've remained good friends.
Mm-hmm. They may have children together and they have to co-parent.
Yeah. Well, I suppose that's the ideal way of doing it, but even more ideal is not to have those issues in the first place. So the name of the book is Finding Your Relationship Fix, The Four Reasons Couples Seek Counseling. We did two of them, but we have two more to go.
Yeah, so understanding your partner is huge, and that comes from listening. So they all kind of go in order. You got to feel safe enough, and then when you're safe, you can allow a person to hear you, and you can be heard by them. And then at that point, you can brew understanding. And understanding is the ability to not agree. It's just to know where your partner is coming from. So you have to take the time to look at their family of origin and the events and the experiences that led up to where they are now in life. When we meet a person, we're not usually meeting them on chapter one of their life. They've had a lot of other stories written before we pick the book up. So we got to take time to understand where those other stories came about. And we need to look at our partner's traumas, past experiences, and then we can know why they do what they do, why they say what they say, and why they feel what they feel.
And number one?
Well, number one was safety, so we're going to number four now.
Sorry, I'm going in the wrong direction.
No worries. And I don't mind repeating because it does build upon itself. When you feel safe and you can hear, you feel heard and understood, then you can do actions that represent love. Love goes beyond the feeling. Love also aligns with actions. So when you take the time to respect your partner, when you take the time to be disciplined enough in the relationship to not cheat, to take the time to educate your partner on what you need, that's how you demonstrate love. Love are things you have to do, not just things you feel. And that's where a lot of partners get caught up into the honeymoon phase of the relationship when everything's perfect and then those feelings go away. They think the love has left. You keep love going. It's almost like a fire. You got to keep putting wood on it for it to burn.
Well, how do you do that? And one of the questions I have here is, how do you know you're still in love?
You know you're still in love when you make that choice every single day to be happy with or without your partner. And there are a lot of celebrities talking about this now. It's not your job to make a person happy. It's your job to be with someone that can enhance the happiness you already have inside of you. So you keep the relationship going by keeping yourself going. And then your partner has that same level of discipline to keep them going. My wife works out. My wife takes care of herself, not for me. She does it for her. Mm-hmm. I do it for me, and then we come together.
Do opposites really attract, or is it better to be like-minded?
Absolutely, opposites attract. If you think about a key going into a lock, the grooves have to be opposite in order for that lock to work.
Ooh, that's a good answer.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got to think about it. My wife, she's more of an introvert. She's quiet. I'm the extrovert. She's the one that helps slow me down when there's decision-making, when there are decisions that need to be made. I'm the one that can be more of an advocate for her if she's in a position where she doesn't want to engage in conflict. When it comes to parenting, we complement each other. So it's not really about opposites attract. It's more about who are you getting with that can complement other sides of you. And as I've gotten to know my wife and be married, I've become more of an introvert. She's become more of an extrovert. Mm. So relationships are about making each other better. They're supplements. They're enhancers. They're enhancers to who you are already. Life is a journey, and you want to have a partner to go through that journey with that can make the steps a little bit easier, make the steps a little bit enjoyable.
So for those couples you've met, like my grandparents were married 67 years, and they had a wonderful marriage. 67, you know? And that was a generation, mm-hmm. you know, two generations ago. So at that point in time, people sometimes didn't live until 67 a year. They were married for 67
right.
years.
Yeah, that was a whole lifetime.
Yeah. What are the secrets that couples that have been married 5 or 6 decades all share?
I think, you know, we've said this a lot already, but the secret is that they've learned to love themselves. They've learned to acknowledge that their partner is someone that is a co-pilot on the journey. And, you know, I have a great uncle and aunt who I admire. My uncle, he passed 2 years ago at 94. My aunt's still living at 91. And they loved each other, and they enjoy spending time together. That's the number one secret. Do you enjoy spending time with your life partner? Do you enjoy being there to do tasks and activities together?
Are there people that say no?
That's the secret. Well, if the people say no, then they have to ask themselves what they want. It's not your partner's job to tell you what you want. It's your life. These are your choices and decisions. And if it's something that you go through in terms of an ebb and flow, that's normal. I meet a lot of couples, after having a child, marital satisfaction drops 67% based on John Gottman's research. So marital satisfaction may ebb and flow, but when you make a commitment to be married to a person, that's something that you don't just want to falter on. I'm sure we all can attest to diets. I know right now someone has a hamburger in their hand while they're watching some fireworks, and that diet might not improve that hamburger. They might gain 2 or 3 pounds, but they made a commitment to a healthy lifestyle. So just because you have a bad day, it doesn't mean you just throw away the whole healthy lifestyle or the diet. The same with marriage. You have a big issue or fight or blow up, it doesn't mean you just throw the whole marriage away.
Chris A. Matthews, a licensed marriage and family therapist, the author of lots of books, including the latest, Finding Your Relationship Fix, the 4 reasons couples seek counseling. How can people find you?
So I have a website, chrisamatthews.com. I'm also on Instagram, Chris A. Matthews, and also all the social media tags are Chris A. Matthews.
I guess it's Chris A. Matthews Day. Chris, happy 4th to you and your family. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.